Good morning, everybody. This week there are two parashiyot, Matot and Mas'ei, and we're going to study a few psukim in parashat Mas'ei, chapter 34. Chapter 33. Toward the end of the chapter, let's say we'll begin with Pasuk 48 in chapter 33. The parasha here has listed for us all of the journeys, all of the stations that Jews came to during the course of their 40 years sojourn in the desert, and they are now at the last stop. Vayisu mehore ha'avodim, they journeyed from Hore Avorim by Yachanu ba'arvot Moav, and they encamped on the plains of Moav al Yarden Yericho, by the Jordan, opposite the city of Yericho, which of course is at the top of the news today. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. By the way, just so that we should at least have it down for the record, what they showed on TV and what they described in the Jerusalem Post on Friday was only my first scuffle with the authorities. There was a second, a much more serious scuffle about an hour later, and I just want to get it down so it should be known. The police at the Tzomet, going out of Yerushalayim, they arrested a I don't think he could have been more than 14. Took him into a Nayedet Mishtara, a police van, and then I was standing with two people on the side of the road, and being a law-abiding citizen, I was standing with Rabbi Meir Fendel of Harnov and Yosef Mendelevich, and it seemed that this boy was being roughed up in the police van. So we went over to try to talk to him from the window to find out who he is, what can we do for him. And then at one moment, I didn't know what happened, all of a sudden a whole bunch of police are beating Yosef Mendelevich. I went crazy. I started screaming at the top of my lungs, a man who spent 12 years in a Russian prison comes to Yerushalayim to be beaten by Jewish police. And I started physically grabbing police off him. Al tigu be Yosef, don't touch Yosef. And there was quite a scuffle, and then I fell to the ground. Or they pushed me to the ground. Of course, that got everybody excited. You know, the crowd started yelling, you know, harav, you know, the rabbi, you get covered when you're down on the ground. And they were all terribly upset. And the fact is that the police were even more upset. I'll tell you, I must say that I was probably the best dressed demonstrator in history. I had my a nice suit on and a tie. The only demonstrator with a tie, and the tie was in place. I don't know what happened once I fell to the ground, but they got very upset when I was on the ground. A few of them came in to get me off the ground. A number of things happened. I lost my kippah in the scuffle, and I'm standing in the middle of the street, surrounded by police, and I tell their officer, I will not move from the spot without my kippah. That's it, finished. I don't go without a kippah any place. So he tells the policeman to start looking for the kippah. So there are about 10 policemen walking around. It's 9:30 at night, it's dark already, and they're all creaking around the road looking for a kippah. They can't find my kippah, and I say, I will not move under no circumstances. And they saw that they're not getting, nothing is happening, the traffic isn't moving, and I'm standing still. So one of the officers, I think chief of police, got a kippah from somebody else and put it on my head. While I was down on the ground, one of the policemen put something into my hands. It was a pair of glasses, and he says, "Kvod Ahav, Zesha Yosef." Yosef Mendelevich had lost his glasses during the scuffle, and this fellow said he shouldn't be seen by the others. Just put it into my hand, and when the whole scuffle was over, of all things, there was a woman standing there with ice water, Aviva Pinchuk, Unless you know it.
Yeah, I know.
I never needed ice water in my life like I needed it then. I was so thirsty. It was a heavy scuffle. It wasn't simple. And then, of course, a few minutes later, I found Joseph Mendelevich, who was walking around in the dark, didn't know where he was walking. I gave him his glasses, and he was thrilled. And then, of course, somebody else in the next quarter of an hour or so found my kippa. So I gave my erstwhile kippa back to the police. This was all at the outside, leaving Yerushalayim, right after the gas stations. Right after the gas stations on the way. This was Thursday night. This was Thursday night. The Saturday night, of course, got a great deal uglier. I was getting very upset then by Malon HaMalachim. About a quarter to two, 1:30 or quarter to two in the morning, I saw a lineup of police, Mishmar HaGvul, and the cavalry, looking more ominous than I had ever seen anything before. There were hundreds of police standing with their sticks, and I went around from one to the other. I said, Tidbaishu, be ashamed of yourself that you're standing here with sticks in Yerushalayim ready to hit fellow Jews. You're crazy. They were sheepish. They were extremely sheepish. If I would have had a bullhorn, I would have made a speech. And then, of course, I saw them all running down to Shar Shechem in order to stop the demonstration. All right.
And orders.
I understand they're only following orders.
Like
so as I told them, they're doing what they have to do, but they can also know at times when not to follow orders. Don't always follow orders.
I'm like
all right, they're not always, I know, they're not always. All right, the important thing is today is another one of those black days. All right, so they're finding all sorts of excuses now why so few people turned out in Yericho this morning. There are not too many people at the airport to welcome the chairman, and obviously they will blame it on the mitnachalim, the settlers who are, we now know, who are like the Hamas. This is the great ugly comparison that was made by our prime minister. We are all Hamasniks. That's right. We're all Hamasniks. That's right. Okay. Vayachanu al ha-yardain, and the tables right now, of course, are completely turned. The pasuk is talking about Jews waiting to cross the Jordan to Yericho. They had camped on the Yardain, Beit HaYishimot ad Ovel Ashitin. That means they were on the Yardain, but they were along a wide beachhead from Beit HaYishimot until Avel HaShitim Ba'arvot Moab, on the plains of Moab. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Ba'arvot Moab HaYarden Yerecho Leimor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe on the plains of Moab, on the Jordan opposite Yericho, so saying, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, Yomar Taleim, and you shall say to them, Ki Atem Ovrim Et HaYarden El Eretz Kanan, you are crossing the Jordan into the land of Canaan. You shall cast out all of the inhabitants of the land from before you, and you shall destroy all of the places where they prostrated themselves before their deities. Maskiyot are mosaic floors, the floors upon which they bow down before the deities of Canaan were mosaic floors with all sorts of scenes on them. And you should destroy all of the forms and graven images, and all of their high places that were used for pagan and heathen practices, you shall utterly destroy. The Horash Demetaretz, Rashi says, Vahorashtematarets means that you shall cast out the inhabitants of the land. You shaftem boy, you should live in the land. Because to you I have given this land to inherit it. Now, I didn't put this parsha about Eretz Yisrael here in Parshas Masa. You know, it's just here. Oh, it's here. I don't have to go looking for something about Eretz Yisrael when the parshiot are full of Eretz Yisrael. Certainly Parshas Pinchas was, Matos and Masay are full of it. All of Matos, well, a good part of Matos was the conquest of some of the areas near Eretz Israel. And then B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuven, who choose to remain on the east side of the Jordan, and they awaken and arouse the anger of Moshe Rabbeinu, who tells them, you have emerged as a people of sinners in place of the Meraglim of 39 years ago. And if you are going to weaken the resolve of the people from going into Eretz Israel, then you should know that you are guilty of destroying this people. Your brothers are going to go out to war and you're going to stay here until he arranges everything with B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven that they are going to cross into Eretz Israel. In Parshas Maaseh we have the entire journey of the 40 years until they get to the Jordan near Yericho. Here is going to be an unusual parsha and a very special pasuk. The pasuk I'm reading now is the one that we're going to talk about. And following this, we're going to have the whole parsha of the Gvulot Haaretz. What are the boundaries, the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are here in Parshat Maaseh. They are referred to in Halacha as Gvulot Maaseh. The boundaries of Maaseh, of Parshat Maaseh. Because there were a number of boundaries. That which was conquered by the people who came out of Egypt, the conquest of Yoshua. There was the Hitnachalut, there were the settlements that were created by Ezra and Nehemiah at the establishment of the Second Commonwealth. But then there are the ultimate boundaries, which are the ones right here in Parashat Maaseh, right after this parasha. The end of the Sedra, which is the end of Sefer Bamidbar, is going to describe again the story of the daughters of Tzlochem that we talked about last week. And precisely who they should marry so that everything should remain in the family. The whole parash, it's all Eretz Yisrael. Parashat Dvorim, which is next week's parash, is all Eretz Yisrael. And I think that we have to deal with one pasuk this week. And the pasuk that we're going to deal with is, in a sense, I would say, a form of forgiveness. We have to seek atonement for the sin of the 3 weeks. What was the sin of the 3 weeks in which we find ourselves? The sin of Tisha B'Av was the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the Meraglim. Atem b'chitem b'chia shel chinam, you cried for naught on me. God says, I will give you b'chia l'dorot, something to cry about for all generations. It's this period of the year, which obviously has to be the time during which we seek atonement for the sin of the Meraglim, a sin which is being performed on a government level today in Eretz Yisrael, something that Klal Yisrael never did in all of its history. That's precisely what's happening over here. The government is giving away Eretz Yisrael. The government has recognized the rights of another people to Eretz Yisrael. So let's hear what the parish has to say. This passage that we just read is a pasuk about which I want to learn the Ramban on this pasuk. A Ramban right here in Chumash, an extremely famous Ramban, which is elaborated on in an extremely famous Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot LaHaRambam. And I'm going to, we'll get to these two major sources. If what you will accomplish is know the existence of this Ramban Nachmanides, then it's extremely important, because the entire foundation of the Yishuv of our being in Eretz Yisrael is this Ramban and the pasuk that we just now learned. Just another pasuk 54. Beit Nachaltam Haaretz Begodol, you should give the land out through a through lots, lemishpechotechem, according to your families, l'rav tarbu et nachalato, a larger family gets a larger portion, v'lama at tamit et nachalato, and for a smaller one, a smaller family gets a smaller nachala, elasha yetze lo shoma hagoda lo yiyah, where the gola, where the lots show that it is his, that's theirs. L'matot avotechem tit necholo, according to the tribes of your fathers, are you to inherit. Before we get to the Ramban on the famous Pasuk 53, I want to Pasuk 55 and 56. And on this Pasuk 55, on the sheet before you at the bottom of the page, we have the Orach Chaim. I'm going to learn that with you as well. Extremely, extremely important. The Helega Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Ve'im lo torishu et yoshvei haaretz mipneichem. If you will not cast out the inheritor, the inhabitants of the land from before you,
So what will be is the following for Hoya. Asher totiru mehem, those who are going to remain in the land are going to be l'sikim be'einechem, thorns in your eyes, v'litzninim b'tzidechem, and like nails or pins in your side, v'tzoreru etchem, and they are going to oppress you, al ha'oretz asher atem yoshvim bo, on the land that you live, v'hoyon, it will come to pass, kasher dimiti lasot lahem, what I had wanted to do to them, Esel Lachem, I'm going to do to you. Down at the bottom of the page. The Arachayim. The Imlo Todishu, the second paragraph. The Imlo Todishu, if you're not going to get rid of the indigenous population. The Hoyer, then it will come to pass, those who are going to remain are going to cause you to suffer. Le Devreim Zal, according to the words of our rabbi Shamru, who said, "Kol makom shenema v'hoya u'lashon simcha," our rabbis say, where it says v'hoya, v'hoya means, and it will be something that is joyous. Vayehi, vayehi is lashon tsar, means pain. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, in the days of Achashverosh, Nebuch, Jews suffered. Vayehi bimei Shvot HaShoftim, the beginning of Sefer Rut, in the days of the judges, there was a famine in the land. Vahoyah means joy. Says the Arachayim, according to our rabbis that say that Vahoyah, it means joy, so what's the joy over here? Vahoyah asher totiru mehem, what's the joy in leaving inhabitants in the land? Says the Arachayim, Khan et Kaven Lomar's intention over here is Hagam Shehen Yotiru Otam Litzad Haratzon Vasimcha Behem, even if Jews are going to permit them to remain in the land because it's something that Jews want to do, because it's something that's going to make Jews happy, because we're going to have cheap labor or for some other reason. Litzarchem, it will be something that you do for your own reason, or maybe you want to find favor in the eyes of the world, the grace peacemakers, the end of 100 years of struggle. Who mivasram? God lets them know that even if you do it with joy and with fanfare and pomp and circumstance, and you think that this is going to be a cause of great joy for you, so to listen, that this joy is going to turn into thorns and thistles in your eyes and in your side. Now the next Orachayim is really the one that I want you to listen very carefully. V'tzoreru etchem al haaretz, they will oppress you on the land that you live. Now the simple meaning of the pasuk, and the way most of the Mefarshim read the pasuk, is, in other words, if they're in Aza and Yericho, for example, to use a contemporary example, then they're going to cause us trouble. There will be attacks in Beit El, Yerushalayim, Tzfon Tel Aviv, Nahariya. They will oppress you on the land where you live. Arachayim learns a different pshat. Arachayim learns the following, V'tzoreru etchem al haaretz, Perush. Lo milvad, the ones that you permit in the land, not enough. Sheyachaziku b'chelek meharetz shelo zachitu bo, not only are they going to hold on to that part of the land that you did not merit having, elagam chelet shezachitem ba'atem, even that portion of the land that you do have the merit having, you're living there, v'yashavtem bo, you're going to live in that land, v'tzoreru etchem, they are going to oppress you, al chelet shatem yoshvim bo, they are going to oppress you about the part in which you live, loma, to tell you, kumu tzu, get up and get out of there. Do you hear what the Arachayim is saying? He's not talking about terrorist attacks in the other parts of Eretz Yisrael. Even if you permit them to have one part of Eretz Yisrael, they are going to oppress you and they're going to say, no, no, not enough. Get out of the other places. We want you out of Yehuda and Shomron and in Yafo and Arko and Haifa. And what about the Arab cities of the Galil? So what the Arachayim is doing is the following. The tzoreru etchem, they will oppress you, al ha'aretz, al ha'aretz. The word al can mean on the land, that physically the land where you're living, they're going to attack you there. Or the word al can mean about. V'tzoreduetchem, they are going to oppress you about the land. You're going to give them Azeh and Yericho, and they're going to tell you that this is the beginning of a jihad on Yerushalayim. That's what they're going to tell you. It's amazing. The man saw a pasuk in Torah, speaking precisely to us today. There isn't going to be... Well, he lived here. Well, he came on Aliyah. He came on Aliyah, Reb Chayed. When was it? In the 18th century. The 18th century, and he was buried on Har HaZeisim. Reb Chayim ben Etta. The Orach HaChaim HaKadosh was a... well, he's referred to as the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Holy Orach Chaim, Baal Kabbalah, and Ohei Beretz Yisrael of the highest order. But the way he reads the pasuk, it's talking to us today. What he's not, Arafat Yimach Shemei V'Zichrei is not making a speech right now in Yericho at which he's saying that, you know, from Yericho we can already see Yerushalayim and the next step is Yerushalayim. And you think that the government is not planning on bringing him indeed to Yerushalayim? Of course they are. They were extremely upset. Upset is not the word for how they felt this weekend. They wanted to bring him in this weekend. But they know the truth. I got a report from somebody last night. They know. They estimate 35,000 people came to the Kotel on Shabbos to daven. They estimate 185,000 to 190,000 were in Kikar Tzion, Matzah Shabbos. They're not fooling themselves. They're not Kol Yisrael who said at 11 o'clock at night that there are 5,000 people in Kikar Tzion. They're not fooling themselves. They know that they cannot bring Yasser Arafat, the Groysef, Chuma, Muslim, you understand, to prostrate himself before God on the Har HaBayit. No. But they will do it the first opportunity they have when our backs are turned. They will bring him in. And he'll be here. He'll talk about the jihad of this city. The Tzoredu Etchem, in other words, the Arachayim is saying that appeasement will never work. You will let them have part of Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to tell you, get out of the rest. Pasuk is talking directly to us. But the Pasuk that I want to concentrate on is Pasuk 53. V'horashtem et haaretz. Yishavtem bo, you shall... As I say, Rashi says, V'horashtem et haaretz. You shall cast out the inhabitants of the land. You shaft them, but you should live in the land. Because to you have I given this land to inherit it. That's Pasuk 53. On your sheet, there is a big Ramban, and then immediately beneath it, there's a little Ramban. The little Ramban is the one I want to learn first. That's the Ramban right here on this pasuk. And you will see right away why this is a famous Ramban. V'horashtem et haaretz v'yashavtem ba. Ki lachem natati et haaretz lereshet ota. Al dati, in my opinion, zu mitzvat aseihi. In my opinion, this pasuk is a positive commandment. Yitzave otam, to command them, sheyeshvu ba'aretz, that they should live in the land, v'yirshu otam, they should inherit it, ki nitna lehem, because it was given to them by God, v'lo yimasu benachalat Hashem, they should not reject nor despise the heritage of God. To despise it is not to live here, or to despise it is to give it away to anybody else. I'll let you into what's happening over here. This is a famous Ramban, where the Ramban says that this pasuk, 53, is the pasuk which enunciates clearly a mitzvah that we call the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Ramban begins by saying, it is my opinion that this pasuk is a positive commandment, because we will see there are other ways to learn the pasuk. The pasuk could be understood as telling the future, or saying, if you will cast out the enemy, then you will live in the land. In other words, v'yashavtem ba, when it says in the pasuk v'yashavtem ba, it could be translated as you shall live in the land, mitzvah, or it could be v'yashavtem ba, you will live in the land. The words v'horashtem V'horashtem et ha'aretz can also be understood in one of two ways. The words V'horashtem et ha'aretz can mean, as Rashi says, and you shall cast out the inhabitants of the land. Or V'horashtem can mean, and you shall inherit the land. The word V'horashtem has two meanings. Fascinating, it has two meanings. It can mean to cast out, expel, or it can mean to inherit. That's exactly why there's a similarity between the words. You can only inherit if you cast out. So that inherent and understood in the meaning of the horashtem is, you want to inherit, unfortunately you're going to have to cast out. But what is the meaning of the word wherever it appears? So this, there are differences of opinion between the Mefarshim. For example, it's clearly stated, I'm going to read to you at the end of Parashat Matos, a one-line Rashi. At the end of Parashat Matos it says, chapter 32, Pasuk 39, Vayelcho, the end, Mafter of Parashat Matos, Vayelcho b'nei Mochad b'menashe gil'oda, the sons of Machir, the sons of son of Menashe, went to Gilad by Yilkedua and they conquered her. By Yoresh etu Amodi Asher Ba, says Rashi Kitargumo, as the Targum says, Vitorich, he cast out the Amori. Then says Rashi Shetevat Reish, the word Reish, Reishin, Mishameshet Shtei Chalukot, it can be used in two different ways. Lishon Yerusha, it can mean inherit. Ulishon horasha, or it can mean horasha, to cast out. Shehu tirud v'tiruch, throwing out. So in this pasuk 53, back in Parshas Maaseh, you can learn the horashtem et ha'aretz, meaning you should cast out the inhabitants of the land. You can't cast out the land. V'horashtem et ha'aretz means you cast out those who live in the land. So sort of understood in the pasuk has to be the word yoshvei, the ones who live in the land. And that, incidentally, is precisely how Rashi learns this pasuk. Rashi says, v'horashtem et ha'aretz, v'horashtem otam yoshvei, cast out the inhabitants. V'oz, then v'yishavtem ba, then you'll be able to live in the land. According to Rashi, v'yishavtem ba is not a mitzvah, but v'yishavtem ba is good advice. You want to be able to live in the land? You better get rid of the indigenous population. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, of course, if the Shabak is listening in to this year. This would, of course, be grounds for ma'atzar minhali. What kind of detention do they call that? Administrative detention. Administrative detention. I'd end up in Migrash Arusim and they'd throw away the key until they open it up for Derry. Okay. That's the English? So that, according to Rashi, that translation is according to Rashi. And you shall dispossess, and you shall dispossess. And Rashi says, Oz, if you dispossess those who are in the land, be a shaftan boy, you will live in the land. Tuchluli et kayem ba, Rashi says. Then you will be able to survive in the land. Be imlav, but if you don't get rid of them, lo tuchluli et kayem ba, you will not be able to live in the land. So Rashi is learning the horashtem, cast out. The Yishavtem, only if you cast them out will you be able to live there. The Ramban says different. The Ramban says, V'horashtem et ha'aretz, inherit the land, and you shall fulfill the mitzvah of living in the land. This is the pasuk. All of the talk about mitzvah, Yishuv ha'aretz, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, where is it said? Here. This is the source. And then the Ramban goes on, V'ilu yala al tatam, and if it will occur to Jews, Lalekat Vilich Bosh Eretz Shinar, or Eretz Ashur, if it will occur to Jews that they should go and conquer the land of Shinar, or the land of Ashur, Vizulatan, or other places, Ulihit Yashev Sham, and to settle there, Ya'avru al Mitzvot Hashem, then they will have transgressed the commandment of God. And what our rabbis extol in such great terms, they extol the idea of living, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the shasur latzet mimena, and that you're not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael, the halacha you're not permitted to leave, And that a woman who doesn't want to go with her husband on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael is to be judged as a rebellious woman who is going to lose her her rights to her ketubah. And before you get upset over here, the Ramban adds the halacha v'chein ha'ish. The same thing is true for a man who refuses to go on Aliyah with his wife. Then he must give her a get, and he also has to pay her ksuba in full. Over here, men and women are absolutely equal. So that, and that halacha, the halacha that says husband or wife can coerce one another to go on Aliyah, is based on what? Is based on the assumption that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Where is that mitzvah written? Says the Ramban, Bikan. Here, nitzvavenu b'mitzvah, so here, this pasuk is the one that commands us to fulfill this this mitzvah. Ki ha-katub ha-zehi mitzvah ha-seh, because this pasuk is a positive commandment. V'yarzir ha-mitzvah ha-zu b'mekomot rabim, and this mitzvah is going to be repeated in many other places. Bo'u reshu et ha-aretz. Another pasuk later that's going to say, come and inherit the land. Avol dashi pidesh. But Rashi explained, "Vahorashtem et ha'aretz, vahorashtem otam yoshveha." We learned the Rashi already. "Oz v'yishavtem bo tuchlu l'tkayem ba." If you cast them out, you will be able to live there. "V'im lav lo tuchlu l'tkayem ba." "U'mashe pirashnu hu ha'ikar." The Ramban says, but the way we explain the pasuk, that's really the way to understand the pasuk. Now, the top part of the page is really the most one of the most famous Rambans of them all. I was introduced to this Ramban, which is the underpinning of all of the right, the messianic, extreme, nutty kipasruga right wingers. God bless their souls. It's all based on this Ramban. My first introduction to this Ramban, I studied here in Yeshiva in 1955 and 56. And toward the middle or end of 56, I felt that I had to go back to the United States, but I was torn. I wanted to stay. My mother wasn't well. I thought I should go back. I really didn't know what to do. My mother did a year, about three quarters of a year later, she passed away in 57. So somebody told me this, a Jew it's worthwhile to go and see. His name is Tzvi Yehuda Cook. He has a little yeshiva. The little yeshiva was on Rehov Harav Cook, Rehov Harav Cook, right near Beit Tikva. So I went in, and I was a young boy, and he took me into his living room. I think that just was about the only room. And by the dining room table, he takes out a Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, and he says, come, let's sit down and learn. And he learns this Ramban with me. Let me tell you where the Ramban appears. One of the very famous Svachim of the Rambam, let's keep our Rambams and Rambans clear. The Rambam is, of course, Maimonides, and we're talking about Nachmanides, the Rambam. But the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvot, a Sefer in which he lists the 613 commandments. The Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam, Maimonides, is divided into three parts. There is the introduction, where he clearly states the 14 principles by which he decides whether something is to be counted in the 613 mitzvot or not. First, the principles. And then he lists, part two, he lists the 248 positive commandments. Part three, he lists the 365 negative commandments. At the end of each one of these listings, there are a number of mitzvot where the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, the Rambam should have listed such and such mitzvah, and he didn't. The Rambam, Nachmanides, disagrees with the Rambam. After section 2 of the Sefer HaMitzvot, after the Rambam has listed the 248 positive commandments, there are about 17 mitzvot where the Rambam disagrees with it. And here is mitzvah revi'it. The fourth mitzvah that the Rambam says the Rambam should have listed and didn't, שנצטווינו לרשת את הארץ, that we are commanded to inherit the land. אשר נתן הקהל יתברך ויתעלל אבותינו לאברהם ליצחק ליעקב. We have been commanded to inherit the land that the blessed God gave to our fathers Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Now we're going to go through this Ramban, and we're going to comment on the Ramban, because it is fundamental to everything that's taking place in our time. So first of all, the mitzvah is that we are to inherit the land. V'lo na'azveha b'yad zulatenu min ha'umot. And we are not permitted to leave the land in the hands of any one of the nations of the world. We're not permitted to leave it in anyone's hands. Obviously, we're certainly not permitted to give it to anyone else's hands. What we're going to see over here is, of course, that the Ramban is saying, not only is there a mitzvah to inherit the land, there is also a mitzvah, if necessary, to fight for the land. What do you mean? Lo nazveh, not to leave it in the hands of any of the nations of the world. And what happens if they want to stay around? So, of course, if we don't have the ability to fight for it, as we didn't have for 1900 years, then we couldn't fight for it. But when we do have the ability to fight for it, it is our responsibility not to leave it in the hands of any of the nations of the world. O lishmama. The mitzvah of Yishuvah Aretz is not only to live in the land, not only to make certain that the land belongs to the Jewish people, but also living in the land means that we are not permitted to permit or leave any part of the land to be desolate. Living in the land means to make it a land that can be inhabited, a land that's growing and flourishing. V'hu amro lahem, says the Ramban, where do we know this mitzvah? And the Ramban, of course, quotes this passage. והורשתם את הארץ, וישבתם בה, כי לכם נתתי את הארץ לרשת אותה. והתנחלתם את הארץ. And you shall give the land over as a heritage. ונכפל פוזה העניין, and this has been said a number of times, במקומות אחרים, in other places, כאמרו, as he says, בואו רשות הארץ, come and inherit the land, אשר נתתי לאבותיכם, that I swore to give to your fathers. Which means the following. This Ramban that we're learning now is going to be an elaboration on the Ramban, on this Pasuk. What the Ramban said in a small paragraph in the Pasuk over here, the Ramban is now going to elaborate on and make certain that we understand that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel. And if you think that it's unnecessary to make people aware of this, so I had the upsetting experience of being with a young Talmud Chacham in a car last week, and he seemed to have very negative approach to this country. Well, today I can't blame him, but for him it was for different reasons. But certainly one should never have anything negative about the country. It's about a particular government that's here today and soon will be gone tomorrow. A government maketh not the land nor the country, you understand. We will, Yitzhak Hashem, be zeichet to see these people. We will see them in their shame and their disgrace, the ones who ride high. They're going to fall, and I'm fond of quoting, painfully, but fond of quoting the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Lifnei Shever, before God breaks somebody, Go'on, he raises them, holding in their hand awesome and tremendous power. And then, obviously, the Pasuk is saying the mightier they are, or the bigger they are, the something or the worse they fall. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah, Hagisisa. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the end. Since many of the psukim that the Ramban is going to quote and has quoted are really psukim that appear in Parshas Devarim, that's not next week's Sedra, chances are that this year is going to be a two-part year. Today I want to talk about the Ramban, and I better finish the Ramban, but then of course we have to talk about the Ramban. Right. Why indeed didn't the Ramban list the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Don't for a moment think that the Ramban doesn't hold that there is a mitzvah, just hang in over there. The Ramban does agree with the Ramban, but we will save that for next week. This week is the Ramban. Alright. It's a big Ramban. We better get down to work now. Okay. Uparat lahem b'mitzvah zu kulo b'gvuleha u'meitzareha. The Torah clearly told them about this mitzvah, gvuleha u'meitzareha, the boundaries and the extent, what's called Eretz Yisrael. Incidentally, that's going to come right here in Parshat Maaseh, the next parsha, Perek Lamed Dalet, is the Gvulat Haaretz. In other words, right after the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we are told what is the map of the land. In other words, the Hesken, the agreement between God and the Jewish people, comes with a map attached. You understand? Maps. Don't all good agreements come with maps attached? And there are no doubts in this map about how many kilometers it's going to include. It's a very, very clearly delineated verbal map of what is Eretz Yisrael. And also there's the pasuk in next week's seder, Parshat Tzvot, Bo Har Hamori, come to the land of the Amor, to the mountain of the Amori, Bel Kol Shechenov, and to all of his neighbors, Barava, Bahar, Bashvela, Benegev, Bechof Hayam. It sounds like the weather report in Eretz Yisrael. You understand? All of the various geographical areas, the Arava, and the Chof Hayam, and the Shvela, and the Negev. Shelo yanichu mimena makom. The pasuk tells us all of the areas of Eretz Yisrael that you shouldn't leave a single place in the hand of the inhabitants of the land. V'haraya shezu mitzvah. The proof that this is a mitzvah. How do I know that it's a mitzvah? Maybe this is a promise that God is giving. Maybe this is a prophecy of what is going to happen in the future. Haraya, the proof that this is a mitzvah. Amro yit'aleh b'inyan ha-meraglim. What God said with regard to the meraglim. Alei reish. Kasher diba Hashem elokecha olecha. Go up and inherit, as God your God said to you. Al tira v'al techa. Do not be afraid and don't be broken. V'amarod. Another pasuk. We're going to see some of these pesukim, as I say, in next week's seder. V'amarod, and it says, U'vishloach Hashem Ebchem, and God sent you, Mekodesh Barnea Lamor. What did God, when he sent you from Kodesh Barnea, what did he tell you to do? Alu u'rishuot haaretz, go and inherit the land Hashem Natati Lechem that I've given to you. V'kasher lo avu la'alot, the Mamar Hazeh, when the Meraglim, and Jews at the time of the Meraglim, didn't want to go, again pesukim and dvarim, Katuv, it says, V'tamru et pi Hashem Elokeichem. You rebelled against the word, the mouth, the word of God your God, which means therefore there's a mitzvah to go, and if you don't do it, it's an act of rebelliousness against God. That means we are talking about a divine imperative. The mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a divine imperative. Says the Ramban further, V'lo hemantem lo, you didn't listen to God, V'lo shematem b'kolo, you didn't listen to his voice. V'lo shematem b'kolo means that there was a command, and you didn't listen to the command. Hora'ah, this is proof. Shahaita mitzvah, this is a mitzvah. Lo yi'ud v'haftacha. The pasuk could be understood as yi'ud, meaning what your destiny will be, or a promise of what will be, but not an imperative. Those are two different kinds of psukim. In other words, it could say, v'horashtem, you will cast out, if you will cast out the inhabitants of the land, then v'yishavtem, you will live in the land. Or I promise you that you will live in the land. That's not the way the Ramban learns it. The Ramban learns it as the Yishavtem ba, and you shall. Mitzvah. Command. So, this is the first thing that the Ramban wants to establish. Ramban wants to establish that this pasuk is mitzvah asay, a positive commandment to live in Eretz Yisrael. But it's more than a positive commandment to live in Eretz Yisrael. If we look at it clearly, what he is saying is, it is a positive commandment to wage war for the land, because it says, V'lo na'azdeha, we shall not leave it v'yad zulateinu min ha'umot, in the hand of any other nation. And when it says not to leave it in the hands of any other nation, that means also that we are to have sovereignty over it. Each word of the Rambam is weighed and measured. Not to leave it in their hands means sovereignty is ours, and if need be, we should wage war for it. And we're going to see how the Rambam is going to elaborate upon it. And then again, Rambam also says, not alone simply to live in the land. You live in the land, you have to love the land, you have to make the land beautiful. You have to take the desert and make the desert bloom. Let's continue. Vizuhi. Shechachamim korim otam milchemet mitzvah. This is what our rabbis call milchemet mitzvah, war that it is a mitzvah to wage. The kach amru b'gemara sota, the Gemara in Sota says the following, Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, milchemet Yehoshua lichvosh, the war that was waged by Yehoshua to conquer divrei hakol chova, everybody holds that this is obligatory war, meant this was an optional war. Well, Lashon Sifri, the Sifri says, V'yirishta v'yashavta ba, you shall inherit and live in the land, v'zchut shetirash, in the zchut that you will either cast out or inherit, tekshev, you will live in the land. Now let me just, parenthetically, there's an extremely important comment I have to make. When the Gemara talks about the wars of David, which were lahar v'acha, and I had no other way to translate it except, you know, harvacha means to make things easier or to expand. Don't, God forbid, be left with the impression that David was a colonialist, imperialist, warmonger, expansionist, and just went out to optional wars. We have to understand the halachic term, an optional war. Most probably the best way to understand it is the following. One cannot go out to Milchemet Rishut. A king cannot take his people out to what we call optional war. And only because I have no better translation for it, let's maybe use the Hebrew term Milchemet Rishut. You can't go out to Milchemet Rishut without a majority of the Sanhedrin agreeing to it. And you can understand 70 men... I don't know, like the Chafetz Chaim are members of the Sanhedrin. We're not talking about a bunch of fellows who are standing there, you know, with signs for war, war, war. We're talking about the 70 giants of the Jewish people are the ones who are going to have to sit down with the greatest of seriousness and sincerity to decide that. Not very easy to get a majority of the Sanhedrin to issue a cry to war. And there was even checks and balances on the Sanhedrin. It had to be brought before the Kohen with the Urim, the Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, in order that it should receive authorization from God as well. Milchemet Rishut doesn't mean that the king can get up one day and decide, fellas, we're going out to war. That's all. Mobilize the Miluim and we're going. Milchama is serious business, and Milchemet Rishut simply means that though you needed the Sanhedrin, though you needed an Urim Tumim, according to some, you also needed a Navi who should say that you can go. What different? And then one other thing. If Milchemet Rishut does not mean that here is a country right next to Eretz Yisrael, and it's like Canada, the United States. And David HaMelech gets up one morning and he decides, crush Canada. That never happens, even with, except for real evil people in this world. David never went out to war against anyone unless there was not only extreme provocation, but Israel was suffering from these neighbors. Never make the mistake of thinking that Milchemet Rishut means, you know, okay. Little war, warm up the atmosphere a little bit. It could never, never, ever happen in halacha. It could never happen. You'd never get the Sanhedrin or the Urim V'Tumim or the prophet or God himself to agree to anything of the sort. Milchemet Rishut is simply a term to differentiate it from Milchemet Chova or Milchemet Mitzvah. Milchemet Mitzvah is one that we have no choice. We must go out to war. The Ramban says the war to conquer Eretz Yisrael is Milchemet Mitzvah. I must do it. Milchemet Chova. Obligatory. Any other war, I don't necessarily have to do it. In other words, maybe I'm ready to suffer the provocation of an enemy. Maybe I'm ready to suffer from the incursions from a neighbor who is not terribly friendly. I don't have to go out to war. Never should it be understood as though, yeah, you want to go out to war. There's no such thing. It never exists. The Ramban is making the point that the war to conquer Eretz Yisrael is Milchemet Chova, obligatory. You must do it. All right, let's go further in the Ramban. Va'al tishtabesh v'tomar. The Ramban says, don't make the mistake of saying. What mistake is he concerned about? He is concerned that people are going to make the mistake in thinking that the war that Yahushua was to wage was a war to destroy the seven nations who lived in Eretz Israel. The seven Canaanite families that lived there. Now, that means that's completely different than the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Israel. Now, it may very well be, one may make the mistake of thinking that there was a mitzvah, it says later on in Dvarim, destroy the people living in the land. And Yahushua's invasion was to destroy those seven nations. But once you've destroyed the seven nations, no mitzvah to hold on to Eretz Israel or keep this land or fight for it. I imagine the Ramban also had people that may have in his days made this mistake. As I think I started saying earlier, and I don't know how I went off onto another tangent. I'm always doing that. Of having met there, I mentioned that I was met a young man, right? I never finished the sentence. I met a young man, and yes, who was very uncomplimentary about the country. And so I asked him, "What are you doing here?" So he says, "I came to live here because of Kedushas Haaretz, the sanctity of the land." I said, "Is that all?" So he says, "What more should there be?" I said, "But there is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. There is a mitzvah to live in the land." We're talking about a young man in his 20s who was a Talmud Chacham, or I left the impression he was a Talmud Chacham. He says, "What? There's a mitzvah to live here? No such thing." He says, "What? No, there's no mitzvah." So I told him, "What are you talking about? What gemaras are you learning?" I took him through each gemara that he was learning, and I showed him where the where there was a gemara that said that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He was unaware that there's a mitzvah. And then I quoted something to him that he started yelling at me, "You're a kaifer, an apikaitis." What did I quote to him? I said, "Listen, our rabbis, Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud say, Shvula, mitzvahs, Yishuv Haaretz, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all mitzvahs in the Torah." So he says, "You're a kaifer, you're not a kaifer. About tzitzis it says that, but it doesn't say that about Eretz Yisrael." By the way, if you will look in the last line of this big Ramban paragraph, Amru, Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, Shkula Keneged, Mitzvot, living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all other mitzvot. And this is the Ramban who's quoting it in the name of a number of rabbis. It appears in the Sifri in Parashat Re'eh. So I'm not a kaifer. I'm not an apikaris. I mean, anybody who had such doubts, Al tish tabesh v'tomar, don't make the mistake of thinking that I am such. But for some strange reason, young men, Talmud Chacham, there's a blind spot when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, don't make the mistake of thinking that all of these psukim that talk about military conquest are not really conquest of Eretz Yisrael, but the destruction of the pagan and the heathen nations that live there. Ve'al tishtabesh v'tomar, back to the Ramban, don't make the mistake of saying, ki ha-mitzvah hazu, don't think that this mitzvah is the mitzvah of waging war against the seven nations whom we've been commanded to destroy. Shenemar, about them it says, hachareim tachareim neim, destroy them utterly. Ein hadavar kein, this is not so. The Ramban is not going to give five or six proofs that the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael is not to be confused with the mitzvah to destroy the seven nations living in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Proof is the following. Sha'anu mitzvavenu laharog ha'amot ahem, we were commanded to kill those nations b'hilachamonimanu, if they wage war with us. You see, there is no outright mitzvah that says go to war against them. What happens if they choose to make peace with us? That we don't have to go to war at all. That it's okay. In other words, you can't say that milchama, war that is obligatory, is the war to destroy the seven nations. It doesn't necessarily have to be so. There are a number of possibilities. One possibility is that they make peace with us, and under certain specified conditions, they are permitted to remain in Eretz Yisrael. And the conditions are not so terrible. They have to accept upon the sins themselves the seven Noahid mitzvahs. Which means that since one of the seven Noahide mitzvahs is Lo Tirzah, thou shalt not kill, it means that they must renounce terrorism. Right? They must renounce terrorism. it's so terrible. They have to renounce idolatry. They have to renounce adultery. Some people kemach leben with some of the Ten Commandments. All right. So therefore he says, she'onu mitzvavenu, because we were commanded to kill those nations if they went war with us. Dimrotzu lahashlim, if they wanted to make peace, nashlimilayim, we don't make peace with them. V'nazden, and we can permit them to live in Eretz Yisrael, but tnayim yaduim, with known conditions. Avol haaretz, lo naneach ota biyadam, but the land we cannot leave in their hands. V'lo biyad zulatam in ha'umat, and not in the hand of any other nation, b'dor min ha'dorot, in any one of the generations, in any generation, makes no difference, at any time at all. Now the Ramban has used a number of times the word ummah, not to leave it in the hands of any other ummah. And ummah means a sovereign people. We cannot leave it in the hands of anyone else. They have to accept upon themselves. Masvadut means taxation, and that they are second-class citizens. They don't have all of the full rights of other citizens. That's right. Call it a minority. Every country in the world has minorities. Not every country in the world is inhabited only by the majorities. They wouldn't be called majorities if there weren't minorities. Every country has minorities, and the minority people are obviously they have all the rights. They can vote. They can do everything. But they're simply not the majority. That's all. They're not the majority. That's the way it is. So further says the Ramban, he proves further, the Chayim, what happens if the seven nations living in Eretz Yisrael, what happens if they leave? What do they leave? Is there a mitzvah to wage war against whom? They're not here. The Chayim baruchu ha'umot ha'em mipanenu baruchu lahem. If those nations fled from before us and they went elsewhere, kima'amodem, as the Gemara says, of the seven nations, Hagirgashi, Panav HaHalakol, the Girgashi decided that he was going to give up without a fight, and the Girgashi picked himself up and he left. The Nathalan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eretz Tova, Ka'artzom, Zu Afrikin, God gave them a land as nice as their own land. He gave them Africa. Not so terrible. There is such a thing as transfer of populations. It has happened throughout all of history. So they picked up and they left. No terrible tragedy. So now, what happens if all of the nations of Eretz Yisrael would have chosen to do precisely what the Girgashi did? They only... So have we therefore fulfilled the mitzvah? No! So now the command becomes that we have to come in their place, and we have to inherit the land. Nitzpavenu anachnu lavo v'eretz. We are commanded to come into the land. V'lich bosh hamedinot, and to conquer the city-states. L'hoshiv bosh otenu, so that our tribes should settle there. L'chein. Another thing Ramban says, what would be the halacha acharei hacheritenu et ha'amin hamizkarim, after we destroy those nations? Imrotzu achakach shvatenu lazor et haaretz. If the mitzvah is only to destroy the nations, so what will happen if after we've gotten rid of the seven nations, we decide to pick up and go conquer another land? If our tribes wanted to leave the land, we want to go conquer the land of Shinar, which is Babel, or the land of Assyria, or any other places. They're not allowed to do that. Because we have been commanded not only to conquer, but to settle. Two things. Kibush and Yishuvatah. And from that which our rabbi said, Muhammad Yahushua Lichbosh, the war of Yahushua Lichbosh, the word that the Gemara uses is Lichbosh. If all we are talking about is destroying the nations that live there or getting rid of them, if that's what you think, then it shouldn't have used the word Lichbosh. Lichbosh means to conquer land, not people. Tovin. From this you can understand that mitzvah hazui at kibush, the mitzvah is conquest. The chen amru b'sifri, the sifri says later on in Dvarim, Pasuk tells us kol hamakom asher tidroch kach raglechem bo lachem et hatir, wherever your feet are going to tread, I will give to you. Amalehem, God said to the Jewish people, kol hamakom shetir b'shuk chutz mei hamakomot haelu,
any place that you're going to conquer aside from Eretz Yisrael, Hareihem Shelechem, is yours. Or maybe the pasuk means there should be Adam Lechvosh Chutz La'aretz Ad Shelo Yitbashu Eretz Yisrael. When it says that wherever your feet are going to tread, I will give to you. So we might make the mistake of thinking that what happens if the Israeli army goes off to conquer, I don't know, Peanut, Kansas City. Come or go, every place where you are going to conquer is yours. Most of the Rakhash, I wouldn't go conquer ourselves. It's a shame. I don't know, Miami Beach. I mean, can you imagine, you know, the Israeli troops rushing the shore at Miami Beach? You know, Golani will take over the. The Concord, or what was it? What's the name of the hotels over there? What the Crown, and the Sayyidat al-Arakal will take over the Caribbean. So what happens if the prophet says, wherever your feet are going to tread shall be yours? So we have to understand, does that mean? Odotsu. So the rabbi says, does it mean there should be Adam Rechbosh Chutzlar to have a right to conquer outside of Eretz Yisrael, Adshel Oyiv Bishu Eretz Yisrael, before they conquer Eretz Yisrael, Talmud Loma? Over there in Devarim, first it says, V'yivishtem goyim gedolim v'atzumim, you shall cast out great and mighty people, and after that it says, kol ha'makom asher tidrach kaf raglechem, wherever your feet will step, you will shall be yours. What is being said here is a fascinating halacha that's brought by the Rambam as well. After, let's say we reach a point in time where Jews have conquered all of the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The biblical boundaries that are going to be clearly stated here in Parashat Maaseh. We've conquered it all. And then for whatever reason we go out to conquer someplace else. Then the halacha is that someplace else that we conquer gets a din of Eretz Yisrael. Before we have conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, in other words, there's hope for Maaseh. Before we conquer Eretz Yisrael, then we don't have a right to conquer any other land. And that it should become like Eretz Yisrael. But once we have conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, then God says, wherever else you're going to go, wherever your foot is going to step, I shall give unto you. V'amru, and our rabbis also said, V'intomem neimak chida ish David aram naharayim v'aram tzova v'ein mitzvah poheget sham. If you ask, why did David conquer Aram Naharaim and Aram Tzora, that's Mesopotamia, northern Syria. He conquered them, and those are places where there are no mitzvot. You don't have to, the mitzvot of the Arabs don't apply there. Amru, David also shalok HaTorah. V'HaTorah Amru, Mishetich B'shu Eretz Yisrael, T'Yerushon Lilbo Shchutz Lars, Ruhu Lo Asakein. David did not do things according to Torah, because he conquered those areas even before he had conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. Even before that, yes. So, but I want you to understand, when it says over here that David Shalom Ketorah did it not according to Torah, doesn't mean that he did something against Torah. What it means is, for Aram Naharaim and Aram Tzobah that were conquered by David to become part of Eretz Yisrael, it would have to have been only after all of Eretz Yisrael had been conquered by him. And as I told you, the reason why he went out to wage war there was not simply a war of conquest. There were suffering, Jews were suffering terribly. There were groups of marauders that kept coming in from Aram Naharaim and Aram Tzobah. Jews never just went out to conquer land for expansionist, colonialist, imperialist purposes. Except, of course, in the last 100 years, according to the new historians, the new revised historians who say that our whole conquest over here is Shalom Ketorah, not according to Torah. But all right, listen. We have enough tzuvahs, we have tzuvahs from Goyim, we have tzuvahs from Jews. Where's the tzuvahs from Jews? So he says, Harei mitzdadeinu b'kibush b'chol ha'dorah. Do you know what to see from this Gemara? If the Gemara says that David did things not the way Torah wanted it, because David did not conquer all of Eretz Yisrael first and conquered other lands beforehand, do you know what the Gemara is saying? The Gemara is saying that in the days of David there's also a mitzvah of conquest. If the whole halacha is just the halacha of destroying the seven nations in the time of Yahushua, 300 years later, in the days of David, what kind of mitzvah is left? You know what mitzvah is left? The same mitzvah all along, the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael. There were two mitzvahs. One mitzvah was to destroy the nations living in the land, the other was to conquer and inherit and settle Eretz Yisrael. And the mitzvah of destroying the other nations was not an absolute mitzvah. There's nothing that said we necessarily had to destroy them. If they wanted to make peace, they could make peace and we'd make peace with them. If they wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael, they were perfectly welcome to do that. That was not an absolute mitzvah that you must destroy them utterly. But what was a mitzvah? The nechol of the war to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to settle it. So we have therefore been commanded to conquer, and the command to conquer applies in all generations. I'm going to leave the next part of the Ramban Nes Hashem for next week. I think the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael does deserve two shiurim. I'd like to take back those sheets. Anybody who's already written on one or taken one must promise to bring it next week. And we will also see what the Ramban has to say about this subject. Okay.